Hello, Saints. We are back once again. It is Sister Amen with me, brother. I can't close a Ziploc bag, Tupos.
Oh, come on.
But I'm working on that.
Come on.
Yeah, if you remember that from one of our marriage tips, we'll get back to some more marriage tips in the future. Today was a really good day. We hope that you had a glorious day in the Lord. We met up with a brother, and we got to go preach outside a Lutheran church. That was perfect timing, wasn't it, Sister Amen?
Oh, it was.
They had an outdoor service, and we waited patiently and quietly while their outdoor service finished. And then I open air preached and had to deal with their pastor and got to preach to all the people. That was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And but before that happened, before we left there, what did we do, Sister Amen? We were in a parking lot.
Oh, yeah, we were in a parking lot, and I knew there was a little farmer's market on the other side of the parking lot, so I walked over there, kind of looked at it, and thought the access wasn't so good, and I was going to walk through, and I thought, well, we were talking about going to that Lutheran place, so I ended up coming back, and then you popped over there.
It was on private property, so Sister Amen gave the report. You know, I send Sister Amen out sometimes, other times I'll send out a brother, sometimes I'll go. We call ourselves spies for God. If you remember the Old Testament story, he sent the spies in the land to see how it was going, who the enemies were. So we'll send spies out to see, probe the event to see if it works good.
Yeah.
This one was on private property, so it wouldn't work good. But I don't know. I want to talk about, real quick, being led by the Spirit. Romans 8 talks about being led by the Spirit. I just felt like, you know, I should go over there. I don't know why. And I went over there, and I was walking, and a man was following me, a man my age. Older man, kind of rough looking guy. He is following me. I knew he was following me. And I thought, this is weird. Why is he following me? So I stopped and he walked right up to the next to me. And I love this. He walked right up next to me and he said, "So you scoping it out?" And I said, "Excuse me?" He says, "Are you scoping it out to preach?" And I said, "How do you know I'm a preacher?" He goes, "I seen you when you were in Minnesota in another town." I said, "Oh." And it was awesome. I think I'll put the audio up tomorrow. He was kind of a New Ager guy, and he kind of believed that there's a broad road to salvation rather than a narrow road. I got to challenge him what Jesus said. I got to challenge him with a lot of things about Bible prophecy. And he didn't mock. He stood and listened. And he said, "Yeah, well, you got a good point there." And then he went on his way. So it was a perfect example of just, I think, being led by the Spirit, because I said, I wanted to walk over and see if maybe God had an appointment for me. And I said to him, "I think you're my appointment."
Nice.
And he said, "Yeah." And so that turned out awesome. So I was really thankful about that. And Sister Amen kind of set that up for me, because she went and walked through and made me think of the farmer's market. And I wanted to go back and go walk there. So remember that. Always try to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and God will have appointments for you too.
Right,
that,
amen.
That man got a ton of truth, and I know I sent him away with things that he has to go and think about and ponder. What's on your mind today, Sister Amen?
Well, I was thinking about how when we got to that church, they were like right at the end of their service.
Yeah.
And just saying that, sister, so you can kind of picture it. They're all sitting outside of the church, in the street.
We put a picture up.
We got a picture up. It might not be there if somebody listens at another day.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they kind of blocked the street off. It was kind of like almost a dead-end street. So they're all sitting in there, and we walk up on the sidewalk, which was perfectly legal, and they're playing whirly CCM music. I don't know if... Yeah, they were playing it, actually.
With their lady pastor dancing with a tambourine.
Yeah. And when we walked up, they're singing and doing their thing, and all of a sudden somebody saw us, and then another one turned around, a whole bunch of them turned around, and they're all staring at us. And I told Brother Tupos, I was like, "So if this is worship of God, why are they stopping to turn around and look at us?"
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how they're not even taking their worship, what they call worship, serious. And I was thinking of Mark 7:6. "And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So even though they claim to love their, it's going to be their Lutheran God, because it's not the real God or the real Jesus, it's their Lutheran one, they're not even worshiping that one.
No.
Like, what genuinely. Do you want to say, devotedly or yeah. anything. They're just like haphazardly looking around, laughing at us.
Yeah, they were laughing, they were mocking. And when they were done and I started open air preaching, they just walked by and laughed and mocked and ignored us. Nobody wanted to come, find out why we're there, find out what the problem with their Lutheran church is. Nobody, no men wanted to open the Bible. It just shows you they do have just lip service Christianity. And that's why we go to try to call them out with the biblical gospel to repentance. So
right.
it worked out perfect. Perfect timing. We got there, and within 5 minutes, I said, Sister Drummond, we got to go. She got ready real quick. We had to go, and within 5 minutes we got there, they were done. And
it was, yeah.
And Brother Kuhl was there. He met us. He parked down the road. He was there, and he met us. So it worked out perfect.
Right.
And it was
Yeah, it was awesome. I already had everything all laid out, you know, that we needed to just grab and run.
Yeah,
I had
prepared.
That before we took off. I had time to do it. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, we put the preach up, and it's on the top of the link. You can check it out. Or if you find this later, it's under the First Lutheran Church on Alaska. You can look it up. But
right.
I asked the Reverend why he wears a collar and why he's called Reverend. He didn't have any answers for us today. None of them did. And they don't, because they have no answer in God's word, because they're practicing false ways, pretending that they follow the Bible, but they don't really.
Right. And he said, this is not your church.
Yep.
And I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, you're right. This is not ours. It's
yep.
yours. It's one created of
we
Satan.
Absolutely agree. So yeah, so that was yeah. good. We got to preach at that Lutheran church. And then the rest of the day we worked online because we had a bunch of stuff. We got two street preaches put up, from one from the River Fest music festival yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the church fest or church preach done today. And so it was a good, fruitful day, beautiful day, beautiful, clear sky, lots of nice, fresh air blowing.
Right.
And so it was kind of a day for us to relax, because tomorrow we're kind of headed down the road, but we'll talk about that at the end. So I wanted to bring up that I saw a little blurb article, Whole Foods. It's kind of one of the big natural food chains. I think I talked about this a while ago. They're getting close. They're already doing it in half of their stores. They're getting close to the end of this year. All of their stores will have the ability, and they're steering customers towards paying with their palm. They have something called palm scan. You give them your debit or your credit card, you scan your palm, and it makes the imprint, and then when you go in the store, all you have to do is hold your hand up to buy your groceries. And it made me think of Revelation 13:16. He caused all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand or in their forehead. Then it talks about by which they could sell, buy, sell, and trade. I don't know exactly what the mark of the beast is going to be, but the technology is there. And mm-hmm. they're pushing it to where pretty soon you don't need a credit card, you don't need your phone, you don't need nothing. They're just going to scan your eye, scan your forehead, scan your hand. It's
yeah.
right where the Bible says it was going.
Yeah, you know, something popped in my head when you said that. You know, the Heil Hitler sign?
Yeah.
It kind of made me think of that, or Hail,
yeah.
or however you pronounce
it. Yep, Heil Hitler, yeah.
Sticking your hand out, you know,
yeah.
you're sticking your hand out to pay. It's almost like an allegiance
yeah.
to what?
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
and then
yeah.
the Hail Hitler, or whatever, your allegiance to him.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you think about it, we always talk about how Satan does the opposite of what the Father does, or he always wants to defile the Father. Our temple is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably going to try to use some type of
temple
mark.
Of it
says it. He's going to use some kind of mark on our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
right.
which goes against the Father. So
yes.
Wanted to talk about that.
My yeah. next, this is perfect.
Go for it.
What I was going to share goes right along with that.
And I didn't know what you were
no,
sharing.
No, you didn't know. I just happened to be reading. I was reading through Acts, and I was in Acts 12, and I read 21, or I'll read to you 21 and 22. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, and not of a man. Well, right after that, God kills him.
Yeah, but ate him with worms.
That made me think of Revelation 13:15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And that's what people are going to be doing. So they're like Herod thing. Like they're thinking Herod's got the voice of a God.
Right.
The image of the beast, people are going to be
yep.
thinking is God. We know what Revelation says.
Yeah, it's going to
says,
be a form
but,
of worship. Yeah. So it's
yeah.
going to be a fearsome, awesome, terrible time for people that aren't of God. And for us looking for our Savior, we'll be looking for our redemption, which draweth nigh in him.
Right. And you're always saying, I kind of lost my train of thought. What is it? Okay, forget it. It had to go with this, and I just lost it. It's late again, and I'm tired.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying, I just said the word redemption. That was kind of my next point. Talking to brothers on our brother call, which we put up a bunch of audios in the Ecclesia gathering forum, so you can go, or a couple audios. You can go in there, listen to some of the brothers talk in there. We were talking about redemption has to be the point of everything we do out in the streets, not just rebuking, not just being super nice to people, not just entreating seekers or ignoring the mockers or dealing with mockers, but it all has to be about redemption, and that's what our Lord is all about, so we have to be about that in the streets. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we got to be about that. God redeemed us, so we got to be have our hearts and our minds always when we're in the street doing ministry about redemption. It's easy to get caught up and not be focusing on redemption and be more about trying to win an argument, just trying to rebuke people, just trying to be bold. Those are things that we got to do sometimes, but it's got to be about all under the umbrella of Christ, his shed blood, the gospel, his resurrection, which is all about redemption. Any thoughts about that, Sister Em, since you go out and do street ministry with me?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, you have to be in the right mindset for it. You know, you got to be, like you said, you have to be walking in the Spirit.
Yep.
And one thing that kind of helps a person be trained up, and a sister is going to do this now, how many times have you told me in the past, put your recorder on?
Yep.
And a lot of that is for us to help ourselves to hear it.
And safety.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you can test yourself to it, because when you're talking to somebody, you're doing something, you're in the midst of the battle out there, you don't maybe see some flesh that you might be in or in front of you or miss something. And then to go back and listen to it later, you're like, because I know it really convicted me in several things in the beginning. I was like, wow, I don't really want to sound that way, or I shouldn't have said that way, or I kind of sound like I was in my flesh.
Yeah.
You know, and you learn how to just deal with people. And
good
remember,
way to examine yourself.
Yeah, because when you hear yourself on there, you're like, did that sound like I was trying to work for redemption with this person, right, or was I trying to rebuke them?
Yeah.
And there's a sister I know out there who's going to be working on that too. Yeah. So we all examine ourselves.
Yep.
And so
yeah, we all share the audios that we make. The brothers share them, and they're going to be sisters when they do some witness. They're going to be sharing audios.
Yeah,
too,
and so. I put mine all up on the
yep.
website.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's just a good thing to examine ourselves and make sure what our heart is right for the redemption, because
amen.
That's what it's about. It's
yeah.
not just going on the streets. And it may sound like it if you got to, because I have to rebuke women a lot or contend for it, but I still want to tell them I love them, I'm here for
oh, yeah.
them, unless it's a wicked mocker.
Yeah, yeah. There's always, even in a rebuke, there's always love, because you're trying to rebuke and call them back to the truth. So just going out and shining Christ and warning people about God's judgment that's coming, warning them about their false religion or their worldliness, that is loving. That is about redemption. But how we do it is we have to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit and
blameless.
Doing it how the Father would have us do it, not do it in the flesh, not do it as a get-you moment kind of thing.
Exactly. You're not trying to one-up somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to just stand for the truth of God.
You're trying to win them, not destroy them.
Hey, yeah, that's awesome. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Today, I was on a video call with brothers. This was really interesting. And we're sitting in a parking lot, and all of a sudden, this guy comes walking up to our window. And my first thought, it caught me off guard, because my first thought, I looked at him and I thought, oh, don't tell me. He looked just like the guy that was stalking us not long ago, following us around, playing music outside our van.
At night.
And I thought, is this the guy? And this young guy standing by the window, and I'm on the phone with three brothers, and this guy says, could you help me? He said, I locked myself out of my car. Do you have like a long wire or something? And just not a week ago, Sister Amon found a white coat hanger, a big, thick metal white coat hanger laying in the bushes. And she said, hey, do you want this? And I said, nah, I already got one. And I thought, no, maybe that's a big, thick one. Maybe I'll keep it. So I picked it up, kept it. Sure enough, this young guy, I go walking, the brothers got to listen, take the coat hanger over, let him borrow my pliers. The other guy was there with him, bent the hook, went right down to the door, looked like he'd done it before. I said, hopefully not professionally. He laughed. He said, no.
And he did it pretty quick.
Yep, he did it real quick, and he got the door popped, and then I got to stand there and witness the gospel. I let him keep the hanger, and I got to stand there and witness the gospel, and they both got it. So I wanted to talk about being prepared, not only spiritually, but also physically to help a neighbor. So we're prepared, like we have little food bags we'll give out to homeless people, or I have a battery jumper where I'm prepared to help people. I have a tow strap where I could pull somebody off the highway if they get stuck. I keep wires, coat hangers, if I can help people mm-hmm. with their cars to get their keys locked out. So being prepared. Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord thy God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer for every man that asketh you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So I know that says that they're asking you for it, but he asked me for a coat hanger. So we took him over, and he got the car open, and then I gave him and his buddy the gospel. So that was awesome and just a good example of being ready, being in the Spirit. I could have just kind of shunned him off and not helped him, and the gospel wouldn't have went out.
Right.
So the brothers thought it was cool. They got to listen to me preach the gospel to them.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. And when you came back,
yeah,
I heard them trying to start their car, and I was about ready to let you know they might need the jumper box.
It didn't sound like it was
going
to start.
They got it going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, praise God. That's awesome. Yeah.
It didn't sound like it was going to start. So that was good. So, yeah, always be prepared when you're out there, both with the gospel and with some basic needs that you could have for a neighbor, to be a good neighbor, love your neighbor, and, of course, we're to love God with all our heart, soul, minds, and strength. The other thing we were talking about today that kind of stuck with me is we were talking about how we deal with people and not casting our pearls. I want to read this verse to you, and then I want to focus on one word. Matthew 7:6, Jesus says, give not what is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I always, kind of caught that they'll trample it under their feet, but turn again and rend you. Look up that word rend in the Greek. It means to break and to tear to pieces. And so we were talking with the brothers. We got to be careful. Not often, but sometimes we run into mockers that can get angry, fleshly, and maybe physically violent. And we don't want to cast pearls towards them, because if we say the wrong thing to them and we inflame them and incite them, they may come and attack us. And since we don't believe in fighting back and all that kind of stuff, it's not a good situation if somebody wants to come punch you and you don't want to fight back. So you have to be in a position where you're ready to handle something like that. So I just wanted to share with everybody, brothers and sisters that are listening, seekers, you need to repent and follow Christ. Like we always tell you, I don't know what you're waiting for. Don't lose your soul as you're waiting on your flesh and the things of the world. But all you brothers and sisters that are listening in, don't cast your pearls before people that might get physically angry. And then if you keep giving them the truth, they might get more angry. They might trample it and then come and attack you. So just be careful when you're witnessing. Make sure whoever you're pouring out to, they're worthy to hear it. They're seekers. They have ears to hear. Or it's somebody that needs a rebuke, but they're not going to get physical and attack you, because we don't ever want it to come to that. And why don't we want it to come to that? Well, as I told a brother today, if you were to incite a man and he gets mad and comes and punches you, he could go to jail. You could go to jail for a year or two for assault against someone. Maybe he's got a record already. He punches you. If you make him mad, he ends up going to jail for 2, 3, 4 years. How would you feel about that? I maybe could have said it different. He wouldn't have got mad. I know it's his fault if he punches you, but we certainly don't want a neighbor of ours going to jail over us trying to witness. Does that make sense, Sister Emma?
Right, and I would say that most people who are just going to be so freely able to punch somebody probably already was in jail or had run-ins with the law. They're fleshly.
It could go worse on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
we don't want to be a part of that.
Yep, so we want to be careful. Watch out for that. Let's say turn and rend you. So be mindful of that. Men, especially when you're out street preaching, and women too, there could be aggressive people with you too. So watch out watch out who you continue to cast your pearls to.
Right.
Jesus gave us the warning so that they don't turn and attack you. So that was like a topic we talked about today in the Brothers Forum. Sister, what else is on your mind today?
Well, I was just going to say that's a really good one to ponder, and I'm going to put that in my mind when we go on the streets, because we get so many mockers and people who push back, and to be really cognizant, of how much time you spend with them, because they can come up, and like a brother said, they kind of come in sneaky.
Yep, sneaky.
A lot of the women do that.
Yep.
They stand there and smile.
Can I talk to you?
Yeah. I can usually pretty much smell them out, because they used to be a wicked woman. And then they start pushing back in a really nice way, and at some point, I'm going to be a little bit more quicker on it than not. is cutting it off when you can see they're continuously defending the sin, because if we enable them to keep pushing back and pushing back, they're trampling all those pearls you give them.
Yeah.
You give them a pearl, they trample it. You give them another, they trample it. And
yeah,
if
don't
they keep
it.
Defending their sin, they're trampling those pearls. Now, a little ways to kind of test it out, because some of them might go, well, what about this? And it also depends on their demeanor, sisters. If they're like really snippy about it.
Or getting in your face.
Yeah. And you still got to be careful of the real quiet ones, because they'll sit there and they'll formulate the questions and they'll run you around for 20 minutes.
Yep.
When you know what their whole point is. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's a case by case situation, but to be pray to the Lord and have him give you wisdom on that.
Yeah, when we go in the street, we go for the Lord, number one. We're going for the seekers, number two. We're not there for the mockers.
Yeah,
we're not there to entertain them. Maybe you can warn them and say, hey, I hope you repent. You're going to lose your soul. Check out our website. We're here to help you if you ever change your mind. But beyond that, the mockers and the haters, we're not there for them. We're there for the Lord, and we're there for those that which will seek after the things of God.
Right, and those words are like precious pearls. So if we had a handful of pearls, and I'm handing it to a woman, and she takes it, and she takes the next one, and then the next one, she squashes
right
down, and I'm going to stop handing them to
yep
her.
Yeah.
So if we put it in a visual aspect like that, words are easy to just keep giving somebody.
Yeah.
But we got to be real careful about that, too.
Think of giving out the gospel like you would with a homeless man who's hungry, or so-called hungry. You hand him a sandwich. If he eats it, you know what? And he goes, hey, I'm still hungry. You might bring him something else. Hey, here's some dessert. Here's something else. If you hand him a sandwich and he throws it in the ditch, you're not going to keep feeding him.
Right.
So feed what people take and then pull it back and no longer give it to them so that,
yeah,
like we talked about, the pearls don't get, precious pearls of God's truth don't get trampled.
Right.
Sister Rama, do you have any scripture to share with
I
us
do
today?
I have this one.
I have one verse to share after you're done.
Okay.
Or no, a couple verses to share after you're done.
You want me to do mine?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Hebrews 1, 3 and 4. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, that's a lot in there.
I like
there
that, yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, that's awesome scripture verse to think about the glory and the person of our Savior, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good scripture verse, Sister Roman.
Yeah, praise God.
Last topic I want to talk about today was, we just encounter so many things in the day, we could probably be here for an hour and a half. Family partiality, it comes up a lot, and we always have to deal with that with people that are contacting us or people we talk to. And Matthew 12:48-50, Jesus said, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brother? And they set the table here. They said, your mother and your brethren at the door. Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. So it's an important thing to think about. God's not partial. We can't be partial with friends, family. Doesn't matter if they're distant, close, neighbors, whatever. We got to dole out God's word and seek for redemption for everyone evenly. And we see it a lot. People struggle a lot with partiality, don't they, Sister Amin?
Oh, yeah. I did in the beginning.
Yeah, it's hard, especially for new people. What do you think are some of the real pitfalls of partiality in your family? What does it create?
What does it create?
Yeah.
Well, it creates you to maybe compromise a little bit more, to be closer to them so you can keep maybe trying to give them the truth, maybe
yeah
try to so-called win them.
Friendship
and relationships.
Of evangelism.
Yeah, I was going there. And then it really weakens you, because I think that it kind of steals some of the love for everybody else away, because you're pouring out so much in your heart to them.
Yeah.
That it's like robbery of what the other people should have. And it shouldn't be a fleshly love anyway.
Right.
Not like that anyway. But we should distribute that love equally.
Yep.
Because
yeah
I would want somebody to do it to me. Because if somebody's loving, if I was unregenerated and somebody's loving their family and I go by in their life and they don't love me enough to tell me, wow,
yeah,
that's pretty bad. I don't want to be that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, Jesus talked about that you only salute your brother and nothing you know better than publicans. They do that.
That's terrible.
So, yeah, so we want to definitely want to war against partiality and make sure that we're treating everybody fairly with the gospel. And that takes a lot of, that takes maturity over time. It is hard in the beginning. We see a lot of young people struggle, young new believers struggle with that, and that's understandable. But they see the real value of it once they do it, and they realize it actually was good for my family that I wasn't partial, that I separated from them, that I warned them, that I didn't withhold the whole counsel of God's word to them, because I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. Mm-hmm. I told them the whole truth like I would tell somebody in the street.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's how we have to be.
That, and you know what? It's going to cause whatever it causes. Either they're going to come to it,
yeah,
or it's going to cut them right off and separate them from you, which is,
yeah,
Isaiah 55:11 says the word of the Lord will do what it does.
Amen. And I think the last thought on this is partiality, no matter what it is, family, friends, coworkers, whatever, it confounds the ways of God.
Yeah, it does.
Because we twist it and make it what we want it to be, and God says, no, I don't work that way. This person needs that. Separate from them. This person needs that truth. And we go, no, I'm going to protect them. And God says, no, 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 I don't work that way. And you're basically practicing witchcraft, doing something that God didn't tell you to do, and you're doing it better. You think you're doing it better than God. That's witchcraft. The witchcraft, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, is what it says in 1 Samuel. So I just wanted to bring that up because we just see it so much. And we got to fight and war against that to make sure that we treat the guy in the gutter like we treat our dear old grandma. No partiality.
Right, because I wouldn't want God to be partial with me.
Amen.
So we better be careful how we're doing that with other people.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, what if God focused on his saints and we never would have got the gospel, or we never would have come, he never would have sent us repentance because, hey, I already got saints here.
I already got
saints. Why am I going to send you repentance?
Yeah, I don't really like those over there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give it to them. I don't want to deal with them.
Now, then we sound like a bunch of Calvinists.
Right.
Yeah. God only picks some people.
That
so yeah, so war against that partiality. I got articles on that at the teaching blog. Anything else on your heart, mind, thought today, Sister Amen?
No, just thinking about our next journey down the road. I was doing a lot of research on that, you know, with parking spots and things.
Yep, yep. We're headed across a state into another state, and we got an event coming up this weekend that we want to get to. And so we got quite a bit of a long drive, but we got a whole week to get there. And so we'll be flying gospel signs on the way on the van, and also doing some gospel sign flying in some small towns. We might even hit a farmer's market or something on the way. Who knows?
Oh, I know. I've been looking ahead.
Yep.
Trying
and
to
so we'll be headed out tomorrow, Lord willing, to go do that. And we'll have reports from the road on that. Sister Amen, what is at the top of the edification page today? We made a video in a parking lot, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about, this is our normal stomping grounds, and we don't normally get to sit in nice parks. Normally,
we're parked
in the middle of a parking lot.
It took me a minute to try to remember what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because oftentimes I take a lot of pictures of the flowers and the trees, and believe it or not, sometimes it's a tiny little area,
yeah,
and you don't get to see all the rest of it. And a sister was always saying, I want to see the real world.
Yeah.
You know, because what we do is we see the real world all the time. It's like, I want to show some of God's creation. But
yeah,
you know what? The real world is what we
like
see
like our
all
street
the time
preaching,
to
going
share
out in the
yeah
world, yeah, in the parking lots.
Yeah.
Like that young man walking up today, or the man that followed me today. All this goes on in parking lots. So much of our life goes on in parking lots.
I know. It's
yeah
funny. Sometimes we can be in like six parking lots
yep
in a day, you know, flying signs.
It's pretty awesome because we're out in the world
or
and we get to see everything from the homeless people to the guy in the $1 million motorhome and everybody in between. So it's pretty awesome.
Right. You know what's kind of amusing a little bit, makes us smile, is we might be in a town and we're in the town canvassing it with witnessing, you know, however it is we do it, for a few days, and then we go to another one maybe a half hour or an hour away, and we go, hey, we saw those people in the other town.
Yep.
And they're camping in the parking
yep
lot.
Yep,
yep.
Other
so
campers or other
yeah
other homeless guys work in the corner or
yeah
homeless guys work in the corner.
But then if
beggars
they see us, they see us being consistently
yep
as a good witness.
Yep.
And we usually try to witness to them if we can.
Yeah, and we've run into that a lot. The police officer has seen me before. This man has seen me before. A brother in another country is telling me how he's working his town and the people are getting to know him. So there is something to be said for a consistent good reputation, because if anybody does want to seek, they know who to come find.
Right.
So that's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
And so let's see, I think we put a picture of our camping spot tonight up, and the video of that. There was something else we put up. Do you remember? I guess we'll have to go look and see.
Yeah, just the buttons that you can go see the preaches.
Oh, that's right. We put our preaches up, and we put up stuff in the Ecclesia gathering area. So go check it out. Lots of good edification going on there. And there's lots of edification going on among all the saints we know. Emails, websites,
right.
Sisters' emails. It's a glorious thing.
Amen. Praise God.
All right, so that's it for us. We are out of here. Remember, as Jesus said, those who are my mother, my brother, my sister, the ones that do his will. I want to do the Lord's will. How about you, Sister Armin?
Definitely, because you know what? I did my will for too many years.
Yeah.
I want to do his will. Now that I know Amen. And I love it, I want to do it.
Amen. Seek his will, saints. We're here to help you. Amen. Grace, love, and peace to you. Till we come to you again next time. Thanks for listening. Go out and have a glorious day no matter where you are on this planet. And no matter what time of day it is, it's morning again here. It's 12:02.
Once again. Yeah, once again. It's early.
Yeah, it's early. And we're here for you however we can help you in any way. And we'll keep pouring out until the Lord takes us home or they throw us in jail and we can't do it.
Or beat us to a pulp out on the street or something because they hate the
world. We'll try to send a pigeon with a note on it, even if we're in jail.
Something
like that. All right, we love you all. Have a glorious day.
We love you, sisters.
God be praised.